Welcome to Metamorphosis with Dr. Tassel Faith. In the next hour, you will embark on a journey to awaken your inner identity, remember the truth of who you are, and come home to yourself. Enter your transformative chrysalis, experience the fundamental change you need, and emerge a leader for your own life and for the planet. Transform your world naturally and supernaturally. Metamorphosis begins now.
I'm Dr. Tassel Faith, the priestess of metamorphosis, and you are listening to the Metamorphosis Show on the Transformation Network. Please stay with us over the next hour and let us help you experience your own personal metamorphosis. And I'm just beyond delighted to welcome the most amazing guest we have today, Lynn McTaggart. And for more than 20 years, Lynn has been examining the bridge between frontier science and spirituality in order to understand more about the mechanisms behind the healing power of thoughts. Lynn has organized rigorous scientific studies called intention experiments, working with scientists around the world. She is particularly interested in the power of group intention and its mirror effect. Lynn is an award-winning author of 7 books, including the worldwide international bestsellers, The Power of 8, The Field, The Intention Experiment, and The Bond. And she has been called a metaphysical rock star, the Madonna of the quantum world, and even the Dalai Mama. So let's please welcome the amazing Lynn McTaggart to the Metamorphosis Show. Hello, Lynn.
Hi there. It's wonderful to be with you.
It's just a huge honor to have you here. I've read the intention experiment and some of your other books, and you're just a marvelous intelligence on the planet, and we're just delighted. How are you today?
I am just great. Thank you so much.
So, of course, I want to talk about whatever is most interesting for you to talk about, but maybe I could just start by asking if you could tell our listeners a bit about your amazing understanding of consciousness and how it affects our reality.
Okay. Well, I can tell you that mostly by how I discovered it. I wanted to find out why things like spiritual healing work. I am the co-editor of an international magazine called What Doctors Don't Tell You. And in the 1990s, in the early 1990s, after we'd started this magazine, it was then a newsletter, I got very interested in looking at scientific evidence, very good scientific evidence for spiritual healing. And so I kept thinking to myself, wait a minute, if you can send a thought to someone else and make them better, that completely undermines everything we think about how the world works. So I started researching what I thought might be behind it. I thought there was such a thing as human energy fields. But before long, after talking with a lot of frontier scientists working in consciousness research, I discovered it was much bigger than that, that these scientists had all found a tiny piece of what compounds into a completely new science, a new view of the world. So this view of the world was really all about a giant quantum energy field that unites us all in its invisible web. We are actually not outside this web. We're part of it. And this is essentially the lower level of consciousness, the ultimate level of consciousness. So I wrote this book up about the field, and there were all kinds of amazing discoveries these scientists had made about our thoughts lie outside the brain, that we have hidden capacities to heal, to see beyond our senses, so many things like that, that our bodies communicate not only inside our own bodies, but outside into the world via frequencies, that we are essentially energetic systems, and so is the rest of the world. So I wrote that in my book, The Field, and that really launched me into more inquiry because there was a lot of unfinished business as far as I was concerned. I thought, okay, if thoughts are things, and what some of these scientists were proving was that they are things that affect other things, everything from single-celled animals to full-fledged human beings, to machinery, to everything. So I thought, okay, if that's the case, how far can we take this? And that really launched me on doing these experiments called the intention experiment and on everything that's followed, just trying to figure out why this works. And that has a lot to do with being having a background as an investigative reporter. That's how I started out life, you know, busting baby selling rings with hidden microphones and tape recorders. And so that kind of skeptical inquiry has never left me.
I love that. So your amazing investigative mind just got really interested in this topic of our energy fields and how does this whole thing work in reality? That's amazing. Maybe I can just take a step back and ask you, how do you utilize this knowledge in your own personal life? How do you work with your energy field?
Well, I mean, this completely changed everything for me. The beginning of this journey just blew up everything that I thought my life was all about and moved me in a completely new direction. And I guess that's what's happened in all of my life is my enthusiasms really drive my work and drive my life. So this whole idea that thoughts are a thing that affect other things was really fascinating to me. So I set up this thing called intention experiments to test the power of this, inviting my readers from around the globe every so often to be a part of a scientific study set up by a prestigious scientist in one of the major universities. And we've run 40 to date, everything from trying to make seeds grow faster to purifying water to lowering violence in war-torn areas to even healing someone of post-traumatic stress. Of those 40, 36 have shown measurable, significant, mostly, essentially positive effects, all of these significant effects. So big changes. It was what happened to me in my life was when I was playing around with this in a workshop in 2008. And I said to my husband, I don't know how I'm going to shrink this whole thing down into workshops. Maybe I'll put people in groups of eight or so and have them send intention to somebody with a health challenge and see what happens. And I didn't expect it was going to be anything more than a nice little relaxing effect, like getting your back massaged. And that's not what happened at all. When we were in this first workshop in Chicago, put people into groups of eight or so, sent intention to a member of the group with a health challenge, each group did. We asked them to come back the next day and just tell us what had happened. As I say, I thought it was going to be like getting a facial, nice and relaxing. And they came back and said things like this. One of them, who was limping the day before because of bad knee arthritis, said, "I have terrible knee arthritis and I'm walking normally today." Somebody else said, "I have a very serious depression and it feels like it's lifted today." Somebody else said, "I have terrible irritable bowel syndrome and my gut feels normal." Somebody else said, "I have cataracts and they're 80% better." So we were quite freaked out by this. As I said, we're both journalists. I'm an investigative reporter by training. I'm thinking to myself, what on earth is this? And I didn't believe it. I thought it was a placebo effect. And I kept doing it over and over again to the point where I've worked with thousands of people now in groups around the world. So what this did was propel me in a completely new direction and understand that small group intention is amazingly powerful as a healing effect. And I've spent essentially my life ever since figuring out why.
This is mind-blowing. I'm so fascinated by what you're sharing. Could you back up and describe what exactly these small groups were doing? Was it a group prayer? How long did they do it for? Like the logistics.
Sure. I can give you some of the logistics. I mean, it's a whole course, you know, to teach how to do intention now. And that's become the thing that I've done. What I tried to do was work out the best way to do intention. And I studied both the science of intention. There's thousands of studies looking at the effect of mind over matter to find out what techniques worked best. And I also studied master healers, you know, master intenders, Buddhist monks, master healers, Qigong masters, to see what they did. And I put them together into a simple program I call Powering Up. Mm. And there are 13 key elements to it, but it's relatively simple once you realize all of the techniques and you learn them, but it only is held for 10 minutes. And the reason we do 10 minutes is what developed out of the intention experiments. The very first one I did with a psychologist called Dr. Gary Schwartz from the University of Arizona, who has a consciousness laboratory there. Mm. And we were talking about the first experiment. We were going to use an audience of about 700. And we both said, how long should we hold this? And it was going to be a subtle effect on a leaf. And we had a control leaf. We had the leaf we were going to intend for. And we both said, well, if people have never meditated before, maybe the most they can hold this is 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so we've done it for 10 minutes. And since that time, as I say, I've worked with thousands of people. I've had two people get up out of their wheelchairs, one paralyzed from the neck down, somebody else suffering from multiple sclerosis. I have them both on film. The MS person is pushing away her wheelchair. I've had countless people reverse their cancer. I've had countless people be able to cancel their surgery. People with arthritis, one woman had arthritis so badly that she couldn't even stand on her knee. And after 10 minutes, one 10-minute intention, she was able to do a deep squat. Had other people with congenital illnesses. One woman had a deficiency in a very important liver enzyme, and that made her spleen enlarged, and she was essentially a candidate for a liver transplant. One 10-minute intention, it reversed it. And once again, I have her on camera talking about the fact that two doctors separately examined her afterward and said all of her symptoms from before were gone, and her liver is essentially normal now. So we have, you know, hundreds and hundreds, of not thousands, of these kinds of stories since 2008. So essentially, the real body of this, the centerpiece of it, is all doing an intention together. And an intention is a little bit different from a prayer, because it's, with prayer, oftentimes it's, God, thy will be done. It's a supplication to a higher power. With intention, it's secular, first of all, even though there is a totally spiritual element to it. But it is a very specific request to the universe. The more specific, the better.
This is so fascinating. I'm just amazed at what you've been sharing with us. These stories of people literally getting out of their wheelchairs after this 10-minute intention has been done. This is just amazing. May I ask, how is there a certain number of people that seems to be ideal or a minimum amount to create this energetic field?
Well, I call it the power of eight. And that came about, again, by accident. I was talking all of this process over with my husband, Brian Hubbard. when I was trying to work out what to do in these first workshops. And I said, I don't know, maybe I'll put them in groups of eight or so and have them send healing intention to a member of the group with a health challenge. And I was just kicking it around with him. And he's a very good headline writer. And he turned to me and said, I love it, the power of eight. And that's literally how it started. Over time, we have seen that it doesn't have to be eight. Eight is a lovely number with a lot of historic meaning and symbolism. You know, it's a sideways infinity sign.
Yes.
It's a very lucky number in Japan. It has a lot of sacred geometry aspects to it. But the number doesn't have to be eight. Six works, 12 works. What it has to be is a small group. I think when it gets beyond about 15, even 20, it's a little unwieldy. And if it's more than, or if it's less than about five, it's not really a group per se.
Okay.
But it has that big elastic thing. It's really about having a small group.
Amazing. This is just an absolutely amazing topic. We are going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with the amazing Lynn McTaggart about the power of intention.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you looking for a way to break old habits that are holding you back from reaching your true potential and living the life you deserve? Well, look no further than Dr. Loretta Billups. She is a clinician and a relationship and mental health coach that will assist you with reaching your purpose. She will hold you accountable so that your desires are now a reality. Connect with Dr. B at cultivatingyourlife.com and find your path today. That's cultivatingyourlife.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shake the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness, be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Hello, we are back on the Metamorphosis Show talking with the most amazing Lynn McTaggart about the power of intention. And before we further this amazing discussion, I just want to make sure that everyone knows how to get in touch with Lynn and her work. Lynn, what's the best way for people to find you?
The best way is through my website, which is lynnmctaggart.com.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So we, before the break, we were talking about the number of people to form these groups for the power of intention. And Lynn was saying that five is about the minimum and up to say 15 or 20, but 8 to 12 seems like a sweet spot as well.
Yeah. I mean, I like to call eight a Goldilocks figure. You know, it's not too big. It's not too small. It's just right.
Yes.
So aiming something like that is really, really good.
Yes. No. So one of my questions is, You have shared so much about physical healing with these intention groups. And I'm just wondering, is it also possible to set intentions for other types of manifestations?
Oh, totally. I run a year-long course called the Power of the Eight Intention Masterclass, where I teach everybody the 13 keys to intention mastery and how to deal with negative intention, how to use intention in relationships, and much, much more. And I have people in these groups doing intention to write the book they never were able to publish, to fix their finances, to change their job, to heal a relationship, to create a new relationship, and lots of people even to find a more satisfying life purpose. And I always talk about it not just being for health, but being for everything. And we have in these courses over the years, I have just as many successes in all of those areas as healing successes. I mean, one of my favorites on the relationship front is a woman called Joy, who had not had a relationship for many years. And this was during lockdown too, because my courses, I do in-person stuff too and retreats, et cetera. But this course and a number of others are online and the groups are virtual. They meet on Zoom and it works just as well. So Joy was in Australia. She was English, but she's in Australia and it was lockdown. And she had a big intention to open up her heart to love, have a new relationship. She hadn't for the longest time. So the group does this for her. They do an intention for her. Everybody in these groups do intentions for each other in turn. And lo and behold, she hears from a boyfriend she had 35 years before. And they start corresponding. And the upshot is, he's moved to Australia from the UK. They've started a relationship. They're living together and it's just amazing.
Wow.
And, you know, we have stories like that. We have stories about, I have at least three people who have published a book. I think even more than that. One of them, Lisa, was really interesting because she is a bodywork practitioner and had discovered a way to heal trauma in the body through body work. So she wanted to write a book about it, but she'd never written a book. She was pretty hopeless, she said, at putting this together, didn't know how to do it, had gone through three editors, nothing was working. So she comes to a course of mine, and I could tell she was one of these, this was a retreat. She was one of those people who was like arms locked in front of her, like, show me, I don't believe any of this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe, I'm a loser. You know, you could just tell she was really defensive. And so after a while with her group, she was doing intentions. And I could see it wasn't getting anywhere. So one of the things that I tell a lot of people is, if it's not working for you, one of the things that's so powerful about a group is getting off of yourself. And that's what I told her. I said, Lisa, get off of yourself. Start intending for someone else who needs this more. So there was a member of the group with real financial difficulties in her group. She started intending for that person. And lo and behold, the next week, Lisa has this uncontrollable desire to go into a store. She goes into this store. She doesn't even need anything in the store, but she goes into the store and there is somebody she vaguely knew. She goes over and starts talking to the person because she remembered she was some sort of acquaintance. Turns out the person was a publisher and is now a book coach. And when she hears what Lisa is doing, she offers to coach her through the whole thing. The upshot is the book gets published and becomes an Amazon bestseller.
Wow.
So I've heard this story over and over and over again. But one of the real key pieces here is, and one of the really important things about a Power of Eight group is getting off of yourself. What I have discovered is that one of the key elements, I think, to happiness longevity, health, and so much more is altruism. Mm-hmm. When you start studying the science of altruism, and I've done this to try to figure out why these groups work, started looking at that. And I found that altruism is essentially like a bulletproof vest. It protects you in every way. People who do things for other people, no matter how tiny, live longer, healthier, happier lives. If you're ill with something and you help somebody with the same illness, you yourself are more likely to get better. So I started recognizing when I looked at this science and the amazing power of altruism, of getting off of yourself, I realized that is one of the key elements of a power of eight group. That's one reason why it works so well.
Amazing. And is this tied into the mirror effect that you have written so much about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that occurred to me from 2008, when I started doing bigger intention experiments, like peace intention experiments, and the first one we did was for Sri Lanka, which was in the midst of a civil war. And so I had my group around the world. Whenever I do an intention experiment, I invite everybody, all of my readers around the world. My books are in 30 languages, so there's a lot of people around the world who want to take part. I invite them all to come onto my website, or more recently, Facebook, or some sort of broadcasting medium to do an intention with me. So back with Sri Lanka, we did it, and we did it on my website with my webmasters just controlling the pages, because the key thing is everybody holding the intention at the same moment. So I wanted to find out how it was for everybody. So I asked everybody afterward to take a survey. And I wanted to see, hey, did your website, you know, did the website freeze for you? How was it? And I was astonished to get back answers like this. I felt like I was part of a higher network. I was sobbing uncontrollably. I had goosebumps running up and down my arms. I felt like I was in the tractor beam in Star Trek. So I was completely freaked out by this. What's going on? But even more freaked out when I started reading about what was going on in their lives as a result. They described their own lives becoming more peaceful. They were making up with estranged partners or children. They were getting along better with their coworkers or their not very nice boss. And most of all, about 45% wrote back to say, I feel more love for everybody I come in contact with. They were hugging strangers, essentially. Mm. So I am mystified by this. I also found that, and it's consistent with all of the intention experiments we've done since, the other mirror effect is oftentimes they experience a healing. 40 to 50% of people will report a condition of theirs improved or healed. So all of this started me just thinking about this whole mirror effect and this rebound effect of doing an intention, a purely altruistic intention for somebody else, something else in the world, is amazingly healing. And that is really, I think, part of the secret sauce of the intention experiments. I mean, it's very cool that our thoughts affect other things. You know, and as I say, of our 40 experiments to date, 36 have shown measurable, positive, mostly significant effects. But for me, the real outcome is what's going on to the participants, because that is rippling out so much more.
I don't know if this is at all along the lines of what is happening, but I'm just picturing concentric circles, that as we hold an intention for someone else, there's a circle of energy around us, and it just radiates out. Is that a way to think of it?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think we're really communal animals. Mm-hmm. In my book, The Bond, I was trying to investigate, was Darwin right? Were we meant to be so individualistic and competitive? Mm. And the answer is resoundingly no. All of the evidence shows we have a huge need to belong. We need to be part of something bigger. We need to be a community, part of a community. And being part of a community, like a little power of eight group, yeah, is healing. I mean, there's a really fascinating study looking at two types of people. One batch of people were people who we would say were living the good life. They were living the dream. They had all the money in the world. They were going on lots of lovely vacations. You know, they just had it all. And so the researchers wanted to look at their immune system markers, and they figured these guys are going to be really healthy. And they were shocked to see that their immune system markers were terrible. And then they started looking at a group of people who didn't have so much, but were living a life of purpose and service. And their immune system markers were incredibly robust. These guys were going to live forever. So I always think of this really important piece here of other help being, you know, we all talk about self-help, but other help is probably ultimately the most powerful urge that we have. It is all about being part of something bigger. Aristotle called it, I think, the pursuit of a noble goal. You know, we need to be doing things for other people. We need to be altruistic. It's really part of our fundamental need. I found, as I was researching The Bond, we have a need to give. You know, for people who have had anything but the most grotesquely neglectful childhood, we have a need to give. So all of that, I think, is part of this big healing thing. But I talked about, you know, why this works. So I think there is a power of intention, undoubtedly. You know, thoughts are things that affect other things. There is a group effect. When people get together in a small or large group, I think Emile Durkheim, the French psychologist, called it a collective effervescence. You know, we all raise our energy by being part of a group. Yes. And of course, there is the altruism piece. But there's another piece that's really, really important here. And that is the experience of oneness. Because in the beginning of this talk, I talked about how I discovered we're all part of a giant quantum energy field. I called it the field. It's actually called the zero point field. It's the energy that's created by subatomic particles, which have essentially a little energy dance with other subatomic particles all the time. They're trading energy back and forth. Our subatomic particles aren't solid and stable things like little tiny billiard balls. They are vibrating packets of energy, and they are trading energy back and forth, which gives rise to this giant energy field, because every little tennis match between every subatomic particle in all of the world creates this unfathomable amount of energy just sitting out there in empty space like a supercharged backdrop, of which we're part. And we are, you know, we are part of this energy field. Now, here's the thing, though. A lot of people talk about entering the field. We don't have to enter it. We're already part of the field, but we don't experience life like that. We experience life as being separate, you know, a little lonely person on a lonely planet in a lonely universe. And we are not separate, but we don't feel it. Here's what happens in Power of Eight groups, or even my big intention experiments. Group intention brings you into a state of oneness. We know this because I've done brainwave studies on it, working with a team of neuroscientists. I was very fortunate to be given a neuroscience department at my disposal to look at power of eight groups. This is at Life University, which is the largest and most prestigious chiropractic university in the world. They were very interested in power of eight groups. So we did this study using student volunteers, and we put an EEG cap on one member of each group and observed it. And we found, and an EEG machine measures brainwaves activity. And we found that very quickly, the parts of the brain that make us feel separate, so they are the parietal lobes, they sit right back here. They tell us and help us navigate through space. They tell us, this is me, this is not me. They were turned way down. So were the parts of the brain, the right frontal lobe, parts of the right frontal lobes involved in worry, doubt, negativity, they were dialed way down. So these were people in a state of essentially ecstatic oneness. And we know this because we expected, and my team of neuroscientists expected, that these brainwave signatures were going to look exactly like those of meditation. Well, they look nothing like meditation, which has an increase in certain brainwaves, like alpha waves, the slower brainwaves. Ours, everything was turned way down. Our signatures were almost identical to those recorded by Dr. Andrew Newberg, a neuroscientist then at the University of Pennsylvania. He found, when he studied Buddhist monks during ecstatic prayer or Sufi masters during chanting, almost identical brainwave signatures. So again, like those Sufi masters or Buddhist monks, our students were in a state of ecstatic oneness. But here's the interesting piece of it, of course. My students were total novices. Most of them hadn't even meditated before. I gave them some instruction on power of eight groups, and then they did it and had these extraordinary brainwave effects. So I always like to say that you don't need sweat lodges. You don't need years of discipline practice. You don't need any of that. You don't have to crawl on your knees to reach enlightenment. All you need is a small group and a common intention, and it is your fast track to the miraculous.
Oh my goodness. This is just so thrilling to hear you share all this amazing information. We are going to take one more quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk to the amazing Lynn McTaggart about these Power of Eight intention groups.
Are you ready for the real results you want? Don't miss the new show. Why wait? Look better, feel better, be your best from the inside out with me, Georgette LePage. Join Dr. Pat Basile and me monthly to tackle topics that are often seen as roadblocks to weight loss. Each discussion offers you practical solutions for your transformational changes. Find out more about show dates and times, or connect with me directly at georgettelepage.com.
Do you find that your world is filled with chaos that's always trying to bring you down? What if I told you that your goal should not be to get rid of that chaos, but to harness it and become your higher self with it? I'm Gina Libido, your transformational coach, and I'm here to guide you on your ascension journey and soul awakening. Learn to anchor cosmic Christ light during my one-on-one and group sessions. To find out more, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org. And be in body, in power, and in soul.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
When the solutions to the challenges in your life are unclear, an executive business coach may be the answer. I'm Mark Fechner, and I specialize in coaching clients with issues related to performance, leadership, business relationships, and creativity. Any person or organization that wants to overcome mental blocks, create new possibilities, and achieve a higher level of performance can benefit from the services of a certified coach. Schedule a free consultation with me today at markfechner.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Metamorphosis Show. We are here with the most amazing Lynn McTaggart, and we're going to continue to talk about the power of intention. But before we do so, Lynn, I just also wanted to ask if you have any upcoming courses or events that would be helpful to the audience.
Thank you. We do actually. We will be starting in early February our year-long course called the Power of Eight Intention Masterclass. So in that class, I have six two-hour sessions, live and interactive with my audience. And I put you into groups. I let you practice with each other. You get homework, you get exercises. It's very experiential. And then I actually put you in groups in your time zone. And we monitor you for a whole year. Because I have found that one of the real powerful elements of a Power of Eight group is being with the group, working with them for just an hour a week, week after week after week. The group gets very coherent. The intentions become very powerful. And I have found that the people who stick to it and meet week after week, they're the people who experience extraordinary transformations. So we do that, and I have regular intention clinics through the year to make sure everybody's on the right track and they're doing it properly.
Oh my goodness. So amazing. What could be more powerful than joining one of Lynn's courses here? It just seems so transformational. Now, I hope everyone joins these courses. And in the meantime, Lynn, are there just some basic guidelines you could offer to help people just get started on this right away?
Absolutely. First of all, you need to have a group. You know, this isn't an intention you do by yourself. You can do, and people do, once they learn the techniques of intention, do it every day, you know, things for themselves. But a group supersizes things. So one of the first things you need to do is get yourself a group. If you don't have seven other people around you who want to do this, it works just as well to have a virtual group. And what I also and often tell people to do is, if you join my website, lynnmctaggart.com, I have a little handbook that explains how to set up a Power of Eight group. But to find them, I did two things. One is, I set up a Facebook page called Connecting and Healing Through the Power of Eight during the beginning of COVID, because I felt people were so isolated and this was the worst possible thing to happen. I also have it on my private community page for lots of people who don't like Facebook and what happens with Facebook, with advertising, et cetera. You can just join my community and just advertise. Hey, I'm in this time zone and I'd like to have seven others. And we have countless groups that get set up just like that. And so people can just meet privately and it doesn't cost anything. I mean, one of the things that I try to do is I have levels of things for people to do with me at every price point, because I want everybody to know how to do this. So yes, join me a course with me. If you can't afford that or you're busy or whatever, there are other ways to get some of this information. So number one, you need to have a group. And there are lots of ways to formulate that group. You can even put an ad in your local health food shop if you want to have people who meet in person. But as I say, it doesn't make any difference. If you meet virtually, it works just as well. People feel that kind of electricity when they are meeting virtually. Remember during my intention experiments, we were all virtual. We were all sitting in front of our computer screens all around the world. And yet we were feeling force fields. We were feeling energy. I was feeling it myself. I had to step away from my computer. It felt so powerful. So that psychic internet gets created, whether you are together or not. So that's number one. And number two, I'll give you one really big piece of advice. Number one, you have to all hold the intention together. And remember, you have to do it for 10 minutes. The biggest piece of advice I could give everybody is being specific. Most people do very general intentions, and that's why they don't work. They'll ask for things like, I want to be rich, when they actually don't necessarily want to be rich. What they want is a new job, a completely new career, more free time to be with their kids or their grandkids, more free time to pursue a hobby or some real, you know, avocation that they love. They don't necessarily want lots of things. So tell the universe exactly what you want. And if you want to heal, you know, the second toe on your right foot, do an intention to heal the second toe on your right foot. Don't just say, I want to be healthy. Don't just say, I want clarity. Don't just say, I want world peace. Whenever we've done intention experiments, we focus directly on the place that we want to heal. We specify an actual amount of lowering of violence. Now, what we've found is the universe usually rewards us with more lowering of violence. We did an intention experiment to lower violence in the most violent place in America, which is St. Louis. And we focused on a particular neighborhood, which was the most violent place in the violent city of St. Louis. And everywhere around it, violence continued to go up. But in this one neighborhood of Fairground, violence went down by 43%. And it continued to go down. This was 6 months after our intention, compared to an upward trajectory 3 years before. And we had a professor of statistics at University of California do this analysis. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to be specific. And as I say, you send it out from your heart. You hold the intention with the other people, all holding the same thought at the same time. So the biggest thing to work on is that. And of course, there are loads of other techniques to find a very Cliff Notes version, the shortish version of it. You can have a look at my book, The Power of Eight. You can join our community and get hold of our handbook and much more. There's a lot of resources, as I say, on my website, lynnmctaggart.com.
Amazing. This just seems like one of the most powerful tools anyone could really ever utilize to bring transformation and miracles into their lives. It's just incredible, incredible. I'm curious, are you part of a Power of Eight group yourself?
Two Power of Eight groups. I hold one every Sunday, and I hold another one every Monday. And we've been meeting on the Monday one. That's a real healing one. The other one we work on other things in our group's lives. I like to call that the Sunday Sisters. It's a batch of women. We all are in this field, and we all work on each other's lives. Monday is a lot about physical healing. And we've been working on numerous cases of cancer, have really done some powerful things in reversing very, very late stage cancer. So absolutely, it's part of my life every week.
Amazing, amazing. We just have a few more minutes left. And I just wanted to ask, as you sort of look into the future, are there some other topics that you are really excited about? Where is life taking you?
Okay, one of the things that it's taking me is moving the intention experiments to heal polarization. Back in 2011, I was fascinated to see that I wanted to do something to have an alternative visual to the anniversary of 9/11. So I decided to do an intention experiment, and I invited Arabs and Americans and other Westerners to take part. I worked with a guy called Dr. Salah al-Rashid, who is like the Deepak of the Middle East. So he invited his audience, I invited mine. We got together, sent intention to lower violence in two provinces in southern Afghanistan, which were the centerpiece of the war at the time, and the Taliban. Now, we got data afterward from some NATO generals showing a big unprecedented lowering of violence. Maybe we did that. You know, it's hard to prove, but it looked encouraging. What was more interesting was what was happening between the Arabs and Americans. They were instant messengering each other on our chat page. They were sending love to each other. They were saying things like, "Your God is my God." They were forgiving each other. So we did the same in 2017 with Arabs and Israelis. This time I had cameras in 9 different locations, 8 conference rooms filled with Arabs in different Arab cities, 8 different Arab cities from Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Jordan, et cetera. And the 9th camera was put in an audience of Israeli Jews. And again, after the intention, they were all starting to send love to each other. These were people who wouldn't even talk to each other. I had to be the intermediary to set all of this up, because the Arabs weren't talking to the Israelis weren't talking to the Arabs. I did the same thing in 2021, right before the inauguration. I had Republicans and Democrats, members of the police, and African Americans all come together to do an intention for a peaceful inauguration. And what I've found is doing these intention experiments, doing something altruistic for no possible personal gain, seems to activate an aspect of the vagus nerve, which helps the heart to leap across the fence, so that people are, and I've looked at information from the University of California at Berkeley, some studies, showing that when a psychologist called Dacher Keltner took 2 groups of students, showed one a picture of the world's victims, and then showed another group a picture designed to elicit pride in themselves. So pictures of the Berkeley campus, pictures of their football team beating the Stanford University football team. And afterward, when he showed them other pictures, the one that group one, that had looked at the world's victims, they were more likely to identify with people not like them. Like if they were Democrats, Republicans, or prisoners, or homeless, or whatever. The other group were more likely to identify with doctors, lawyers, financiers, the people they were going to become.
Yes.
And so he explained that, and it was evident that when you activate feelings of altruism, the heart leaps across the fence and is more likely to identify with people not like you. And so that's my real interest at the moment, is exploring overcoming polarization with these big events. And I think that this is one way to fast track connection and healing of division, yes, which is so... was so pervasive now, yes, in the world.
Oh, amazing, amazing work. I would love to talk more. We do have to wrap up here. Thank you so much, Lynn. The treasures that you are offering the world with your work are just amazing. Thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And to all of our listeners, please visit Lynn McTaggart's website. Please join her courses, her groups, A Power of 8 Intention Group. It's absolutely transformative. And if you want to get in touch with me, my website is drtassel.com. And until then, to your amazing metamorphosis, lead with your magic, trust the unseen, experience quantum leaps.
Thank you for joining Dr. Tassel Faith, Priestess of Metamorphosis, on your road to transformation and freedom. Each step takes you closer to becoming an awakened, empowered, courageous, and a moves mountains kind of person. Join us again the second and fourth Wednesday of each month at 12 noon Eastern Time for more guidance and encouragement. Until then, lead with your magic, trust the unseen, experience quantum leaps.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.